chance to meet the great Malcolm X?
Only once, and that was just in passing. There was no great personal familiarity there. I was just another person that met him.
Wow, you say only once, though. That's all I need.
That's all I would need right there. Now, once he started to build the Nation of Islam, did he pull away from his family, or did that bring y'all closer together?
Well, I think all of us, in our confused way, were moving closer together because we recognized that we were really one family in more ways than people really understood. It was not a separation. Certainly all of us had a sense of how we wanted to be recognized and who we wanted to be recognized as, but we all understood, I think, at least from my point of view, we understood what the goals were.
Wow. And I know you got prayer, Bible study coming up at 6 o'clock at the church. So just a few more questions. Under his jurisdiction, we had black banks, we had farms, we had stores.
We had a basic police department.
We had an infrastructure that we don't have today, basically.
Well, in those days, we had a greater respect for ourselves.
Say it again. say it one more time. Please just say it one more time.
And I'll be quiet.
Yeah, we'll be very quiet.
Yeah, so we had a greater respect for ourselves. Wow. And therefore, we thought differently, and we had our projections different, and we thought of each other differently.
Wow. That's it right there.
That's
somehow or another, we lost that respect. Yes.
That's deep.
That's real deep.
That's why I had him say it one more time, because I had to make sure I heard the right thing.
Because
right, that's exactly what I said.
When you look at our plight, when you look at the mirror of Black America, and what you just said is kind of sums it up. We lost the respect for ourselves. Go ahead, Big Rod.
In your years, I know you're getting up there in age and stuff. Did you ever think, in your wildest dreams, having an uncle like Elijah Muhammad and you know, having that camaraderie, did you ever think in all your years that you would see a black man as a president? What is your take on that?
I never believed that would happen back in those years. And even when I was helping with Reverend Jesse Jackson and his campaign, I didn't have a sense that we would make it, but the whole reason for being a part of it was that it was an evidence of our hope and our desire, whether we were successful or not.
Wow. Mm. You was close with Dr. Martin Luther King, wasn't you?
Yes. Yeah, very definitely.
Now, how many times did you see him? You probably saw him a bunch of times.
Oh, Lord, yes. I carried him. 8 pig feet on a porch and Black Eyed Peas. Yeah. I had a number of great times with Reverend King.
Mm-hmm. Well, if your uncle was alive today, what do you think he would say about Black America?
I think he would say we've lost our direction.
What do you think he would be addressing, Elijah Muhammad, if he was at the hems of the operation now?
Well, I think that he would be addressing the same thing I said was missing, and that is self-respect. You can't move very far if you don't have respect for yourself.
You can't.
Have you ever met the Honorable Louis Farrakhan?
Yes, that's my cousin.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Oh, my goodness. You've been holding back, Pastor.
Yeah, you've been holding back now.
So, Louis Farrakhan is your cousin.
He married the daughter of a fool.
Oh. Okay. Oh, my goodness.
Man. Now, he done blew me away for real. He done blew me because I know when I first met him.
Right.
the minister, Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, it was I don't know how to explain it. It was, you walk in a room full of people. You ever walked in a room in front of full of people, and I mean full of people, and you just felt peace.
Right.
And you didn't hear nothing else but what that one person was saying or talking to you. That's the way I felt when I walked into the room with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Dr. Poole, you have a lot of knowledge. Yeah. One day we got to just have you talk to our kids. I know you preach, and I don't know if you talk about it when you preach in your sermons, but you have so much knowledge. We definitely need to tap into it, get some more. You just hit me with that one. That
was a gut punch right there. As big as I am, you gut punched me with that one. I ain't got no more air.
Wow. There were people try to paint. They try to paint Elijah Muhammad in a negative eye, and in the whole people doing that whole movement, the Black Panthers, and you name them. No, tell us about his image and how it is mischaracterized.
The fact that they try to make it appear that he was negative, that his movement forward was a violent movement, that he had no sense of appreciation for humankind, and I think all of that is all wrong. He had a great pride in being a Black man, and because Blacks were being persecuted and misused, certainly the attitude was that in whatever way I can better the situation, I'm going to try to better the situation. And that's simply what we call today defense. We defend ourselves in the best way we can in the society that we live in until we can do better.
Wow. Before we go, would you say that he is probably one of the most influential African Americans in the history of this country?
I don't know of any who has had a greater influence, and I tell you why I say that. When you think about all that was done in the days of Chicago. Bean pies and all the things that were sold and what was attached to it as we tried to rise economically, that there was a presence that was not just encouraged but demanded, and that was that we would have a presence that was decent, that was neat, and that would show that we were together. And so anywhere you bought a paper, you saw a fellow in a white shirt and a tie. You didn't see his britches hanging down at his knees. You saw him respectful of his women and of his family. He cared a great deal for his family. And that was the motif of the movement where he was concerned.
Wow. Pastor Poole, thank you. Yes. Thank you so much. Do we need to continue to study and read the books that he left for us to read?
I think you'd learn a lot.
All right. Thank you so much for being available. Short notice. I know I just called you 30 minutes ago. And thank you for being available. I know you got Bible study, but I really, really appreciate this.
You're very welcome.
All right. Take care. All right.
Take care and keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. God bless. There you go. Our very own Dr. Charles Poole, pastor of Bethesda Baptist Church. I don't know how many years they've been in the community, but Bethesda has, they say they are the oldest Black church in Muskegon, in this area, in Muskegon. So at the top of the hill, his uncle was Elijah Muhammad. Elijah Muhammad was Elijah Poole. So wanted to get him on radio to talk about his uncle, whose birthday is celebrated this week. Some people might say it's the first. Blackfacts.com say the 7th. But we're celebrating today, and we're acknowledging his works today. We just heard from the uncle. We just heard from the nephew. Now, we're going to talk to somebody now who has, I guess, has been you call a student.
Student.
Of.
Student minister.
Student minister of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We got our brother Michael Muhammad on the phone line out in Waterloo, Iowa, founder of KBOL 100.1, our sister stations in Iowa. How you doing today, brother Michael?
Oh, I'm doing fine, brother Paul. I'm Big Rob. How y'all doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing fine, good. Sir. Doing real good. You know, sure. We tweeted out that we were going to have the nephew of Elijah Muhammad on radio, and our audio stream went off the chain online. People are listening all over the United States and throughout the world. They listen, but I saw it like intensify. The numbers just like jump.
Right.
When we said we were going to have the nephew of Elijah Muhammad on radio.
That's phenomenal. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes, I definitely, let me say, first of all, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, brother. I am striving to represent the real student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and top student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And that is a serious struggle but a humbling opportunity to strive to represent him. I don't know of anyone who does the better job. I don't know a person on the planet who can represent the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, such as the Honorable Minister Farrakhan. So I just want to make sure I said that off the cuff. But going on with your point, Brother Paul, because it sounds very interesting, and it's certainly good company, and I'm very humbled to come behind a family member of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's certainly a blessing in and of itself. You were going on to just say what you all were talking about a little bit more.
Yeah. I wanted you to talk on how the teachings of Elijah Muhammad changed you, because you, when we met, you told me a story about how the old Michael were.
And you know what was a blessing? I found out. I talked with Brother Michael privately for, I think we were on the phone 3-4 hours. We both found that we had a lot of things that we used to do
in common.
In common.
So, Brother Michael, tell us about the old Brother Michael and what the teachings did to you.
Well, I tell you, I'm gonna tell you in the way of our Christian, beautiful Christian family, and the gospel hymns that have sung, that have been sang, but where it says that I was lost, but I'm now found. I mean lost to the more exhaustive meaning of the word, just straight up ignorant and blind. And so being under those kind or in that kind of a condition, I made decisions and choices that were counterproductive, that were against my community and that were against my life. As much as Brother Rob and I talked about, I dibbled and dabbled in drugs and sold drugs and all of the above. This is what young brothers trying to find themselves, find an identity in a world that has deprived us of our identity, stripped us of our identity, looking for an identity, looking for fathers, looking for those examples in how to be what is our natural birthright, to be men, which is burning inside of each brother. And so as a young man, reaching in those different pockets, you gravitate toward the negative elements in society because there's not enough, unfortunately, representation of those elements that would give us that rite of passage that we all really deserve, that was taken from us when we were brought over here in the bottom of slave ships, and been treated inhumanely for over 400 and some odd years now. So for me, brother, growing up, I had a mother on drugs. I grew up, every one of my uncles were in and out of penitentiary like revolving doors. I grew up as the elder child, and being that elder child, my mother had me at a very young age, but being that elder child, a lot of responsibility fell on my shoulders, and I had two younger brothers, and a lot of responsibility, including being a pillar for my mother, and in every walk, in every step of her life. So I basically grew up with her. So we struggled. We struggled in a lot, in ways that still are tender spots in the heart. And God rest her soul, she recently passed this year. And but she was became a believer and overcame drugs and made monumental contributions to our people, our society, and particularly focusing on this community, helping the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his student, our beloved minister, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you know, and she was became a laborer and did a lot of good, and God rest her soul and bless her for all the good that she's done, including what she did in producing my brothers and I.
Wow.
But I and giving us an opportunity, you know, giving us good upbringing, but we struggle within in the good margin that a mother would teach you. We still struggle in the way of what we gravitated toward on the street. So, you know, we all got that backstory, all of the hustling, you know, all of the things that, you know, you're not proud of. I sold drugs. I sold marijuana. I'm not ashamed to say any of that because it was real. It was a part of my life. And I couldn't sell crack long because my mother was on crack.
Mm.
And so I had a mind to say that I don't want to sell the drugs that my mother end up in my mother's hand, and I end up killing my own mother.
Mm.
So I gradually, after hearing, you know, because I was vacillating between two of them, I had my good friends who were doing good and living right. You know, I wouldn't say necessarily living right, but they were good, they had more structured environments than I. So I had a double life. I could go to school, high school, get out of high school, and then I can go into the wee hours, 3 a.m. in the morning. When they had to go home, I could go. The party was just getting started for me, you know. So I grew up real, real fast, brother, you know.
Wow.
And learned a lot. I had a lot of experiences, man, a lot of experience. My brothers had father. One of my brother's father was a very, very high-ranking member of the street organization. In fact, he was one of the founders of one of the major street organizations, which I won't mention just for the sake of, you know, not necessary. But the point is, he was very high ranking. And so I experienced life in so many different ways as a young man. But when I met and I learned of the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I found everything that I had personally in my life as if I had been yearning for it my whole life.
Hmm.
And it was as if the questions, the common sense kind of questions I asked as a young boy going up and down the street. In my community, watching my people going in and out of the penitentiary, my uncles going in and out of the penitentiary, my mother on crack cocaine, you know, and family members and others that I have been a part of their lives since I was a little boy, but watching the destruction, the constant destruction, like, why? You know, and that's the thing that kept permeating for me. Why? And, you know, not having anyone to really give you that answer,
mm-hmm.
Your mind is on search mode. But when I heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and looking at everything that I had personally experienced growing up, and I heard his teaching, and I heard a man talking not on a hate platform, not on an anti-white platform, although what he taught about the white man helped me to identify with the root causes of the conditions that the prevailing conditions that our people are suffering from and why we were suffering. And that's not a blame thing. That's
right.
Reality. If you're an authority in a society, then you create the atmosphere which the citizens in your society live in. Well, we were black folks brought here on slave ships and mistreated, depraved of everything. Then you got to take responsibility because you reared us up in your society. So when he identified with their role and their hand in our people being disenfranchised, broken down in despair, the condition that I was experiencing hands-on and the way that I was experiencing, the deep levels of ignorance, self-hatred, even your skin complexion, you know, just everything that we go through growing up, you know, the abuse of our women and molestation. We can just about, there's not a black woman hardly in America that hadn't been touched or abused by some man, or even sometimes a member of our family, our own family. So growing up with all those issues and those questions used to always come up, why? You know, why you see your people with hair on me? I've held straps for people, you know, while they shooting dope in their veins as a young boy.
Mm.
I mean, that's some traumatic stuff, man.
Right.
Have guns put in your face, you know, as a young boy, you know, witnessing domestic violence situations. And, man, you know, so my mother doing crack in the basement with other women, and then they would come up the stairs one by one, and I'm sitting at the table sharing deep, intimate pain that's really at the root of the cause of their drug abuse. So when I met the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and I started to learn of who I am and who I belong to, the origin, it connected. It was as if, brother, I tell you, I remember reading the message to the black man. It was if the brother brought it to me, and I remember he gave it to me. I was going to college when I first tried college, you know, as an escape hatch. running from my environment. But I remember there was some brothers from the East Coast, and I remember hearing the minister, and I ran home one time to let my mother hear, because everything he had said was like common sense. But when I got a hold of it, I tried to feed everybody I could with what I was learning, because it was as if I had already known it, but I knew I had never said it. It was as if I'd already thought it, but I knew that I hadn't thought it in the way that I'd heard it being represented. And when I look back now, thinking over that introduction, mm-hmm. I realized that it was the fact that it was waking up nature, you know, and that's what the word was doing. So I remember getting a message to the black man, and the brother gave me a copy of the message to the black man, and I started reading it. Oh, my God. I said, oh, my God. It was somewhat common sense, but it was more than that. And that's the thing that is so tricky to me about it. I won't say tricky, but like so deep, it was as if it was already, you had already known it, but you didn't know it. And I'm reading the history and the relevance of who we are, what happened to us, why we hate ourselves, you know, how we've been trained up with a mystery God, and how we've been trained up to love our oppressors more than ourselves, how we don't do for self and want to benefit each other and love one another. And all the questions that I had looking at the condition within my community, I knew, brother, and it makes me emotional to this point, but I knew at that moment that I had found everything that I had been looking for, because up to that point, I was running to different organizations, different religion, and I don't knock any of them because I appreciate all the good that they did, because they did a lot of good. But looking for that deep answer that would nourish my soul. And when I started hearing this black man teach, and I never heard a black man talk like that, even when I heard his student, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because I heard the minister, but I wanted to know what the source, where did he get it from? When I read Malcolm's bibliography, I wanted to know who was at the root of causing Malcolm to think like that, and who was at the root of causing Minister Farrakhan to think, and Muhammad Ali and this consciousness. And when I met the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings, brother, I instantly fell in love, you know, and I'm in love with him and the teaching right now. And I'm in love with his student right now. You know, a man has given so much to black people. And black people, because of our conditioning, we don't understand how to appreciate the love that a man is giving us, because he may not be wrapped in a package that our enemy put him in. You know, we don't know how to identify with true love when a man tell you to love your black self after being deprived of loving your black self, hating your black self, killing your brother, abusing your women. We don't understand the deep value of that, because the enemy made what is from us, what is from our God, and our relationship with our true selves made it foreign to us. But for me, it instantly started to open up my eyes, and I knew that it was the way. And I remember reading that message to the black man. That, you know, bro, I didn't like reading a lot. I read. But I ain't going to say I'm a lot of y'all. Like, I would love to read. No, I didn't love to read. But I grew to learn. I read that book. I couldn't hardly put it down. I couldn't put it down. And then I remember I had a gold chain, a herringbone, you know. You know how we used to have them big, thick. I had a thick one. And, you know, my money was low, you know, because I was cleaning up in degrees. And I remember going to a pawn shop. I ran into a beauty supply shop. They had every one of the books that honored Elijah Muhammad. Okay. I remember I didn't have the money on me at that time. I went and pawned that chain and got every book, but I ate every last one of them. And it's just so much more. But I hear you pulling. But yeah, you got a question?
No. I'm soaking it all in. Man, Rob is soaking us all in. How that transformation. Yeah, I'm letting you talk because we wanted to honor Honorable Elijah Muhammad and want to people hear from his family, but then hear from somebody who's a direct
who's
result.
Following him now.
Right, who's a direct result of his works. Because I haven't seen a movie on him. I haven't seen no documentary yet to highlight him. So we got to do that. We got to chronicize the things that he's done. And I know a bunch of other people who have been through his teaching. I wanted our young folks to hear it.
Yes, I appreciate that, Brother Paul, because you're right. People don't get the opportunity. And one of the things about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, even as I've grown, I was fortunate to come by one of his ministers, who is also a minister, a representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to this day. But I was blessed because he had that experience. He had the both, you know what I'm saying? So he had a historical perspective that he could share. And I was able to get that perspective and that kind of energy from when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was present, and he taught me a lot and shared a lot of things, and among other circles, like some of the other scholars in the Nation of Islam, Minister Jibril, and others who have a deep historical, and of course the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, but has a reference point. And that reference point gives you a more intimate point of view, and more importantly, the value. But one of the things that I learned was that there was always this dark image around the life of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Not that he was dark, but the way that the world and the way that the enemy projected his image was always to make the Muslim community, in addition to his work, as something dark and strange and anti-American necessarily, when it wasn't necessarily anti-American, but anti what America has done to its own citizens, particularly our people, and then the whole of it. But one who calls us to think critically and go deeper, but the world never puts him in the appropriate light of the kind of man that he is. And what the world has done is they'll try to find whatever they can to pass a negative image and energy over the Honorable Elijah Muhammad so that young people won't have the experience that I have. Right. And others like Malcolm and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You look at Minister Farrakhan today, a giant, and not a vain giant, not a man who's vain. He's a humble man.
Right.
He's a good man, and he's not a racist. He don't hate white people. Right. He don't hate Jews. He's a man of good character and a man of balanced character and has a just nature. The way that the world wants to project him is in the contrary, in order to stop young brothers like myself and others who are benefiting from the teachings that are out of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the way that we are. Not just those of us who come from the streets, but those of us who come out of college institutions, who come from well-to-do families, but yet are suffering from the most important of knowledges, and that one being the knowledge of God and the other knowledge of self, and then the knowledge of others on the planet. So, you know, I appreciate the fact that you highlight him, especially as we come on off the heels of his celebrated birth anniversary,
mm-hmm.
which we have called, which is our Savior's Day, because we call the Honorable Elijah Muhammad affectionately and without any fear of contradiction, a Savior, because he has saved the lives of countless numbers of our people within the Nation of Islam and outside of the Nation of Islam. Black thought has been dramatically affected by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. In fact, he brought the wisdom from his teacher that allowed us to explode our study into the black thought, which is really the knowledge of self and our history, deeper than what happened in American slavery, deeper than what happened in Egypt history, Egyptian history. But he's taken us on a journey through the wisdom back to the originator of the heavens and the earth himself. And no teacher before him or since him outside of his students has been able to connect us to the universality of ourself, man. And that right there in and of itself for young listeners and anyone listening really is really crucially important to connect with the universe. I remember the night I recited and got my answer, and we recite the lessons that the teacher of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave him, Master Faraz Muhammad,
uh-huh.
to whom praise I do forever. And he said, he gave us lessons, the measurements of the earth, and we had to recite these lessons, the actual facts and student enrollment of the planet, but dealing with the measurements of the water, the land, and you know that there's 24,896 square miles of this planet is, you know, the planet is 7,926 miles in diameter. But these measurements, the mass of the square mileage of the Pacific Ocean, the planet, the light, the sun. So we had to recite these things, which was phenomenal because it was the deed, and I liken it to being the deed in the abstract of our planet, which is heavy duty. I mean, how do you say you God and he come telling us that you are the people of God, you're the direct descendants of God, and you don't know the measurements of your planet and or your universe? So that was introducing us in and of itself to the universe. But I remember the night I recited and got my X, or what we would call our holy name.
Uh-huh.
This is the process that you enter when you join on to your own in the Nation of Islam under the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I remember, Brother Paul, Brother Rob, you know, I recited, and I remember the night came. And I'm looking up in the sky for the first time, and I think I might have been roughly 19 at that time, you know. And I remember looking up in the sky, and having and looking, brother, I mean, it tripped me out. I never felt so connected in my entire life, but connected to the universe. I actually felt the energy, and this is spiritual, but it's real to me. Mm. I felt for the first time as a young black man connected to something beyond just what I could see standing in from a point of a lateral position or a horizontal plane, you know, materialistic or people that you encounter just on a social track. I actually was able to connect and I felt that connection.
Right.
And that's the journey that's contained in the wisdom of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So, you know, in the book of Malachi, it said that Elijah would turn the hearts of the father to the children and the hearts of the children to the father. It, in and of itself, that is wisdom. Because it, what it's saying, in fact, is that he's cultivating, and from my humble view, he's cultivating a relationship through the process of turning, as if you turn topsoil, which is you put it on the top, the bottom soil on the top, and the top on the bottom to help replenish and rejuvenate the strength of the soil. So he's actually, through the wisdom and the teachings, who is the original man, a question that he asked. Which I tell students sometimes when I talk, and I've been fortunate to talk in the colleges and whatnot, that I asked that question. I said, have you ever, why, what is the basis for someone asking a question like that, first and foremost? And then I said, who has ever asked that question before? I can't even think of anybody outside of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaching that has ever asked the question, who is the original man? That in and of itself starts us back on the journey, on the path to reconnecting with ourselves and with our God, which gets us up out of the posture of this deep-rooted self-hatred, which is at the root of why we're killing each other on the street today. If only we could learn how to love ourselves. And, I mean, you know, but that's what I love so much about him. I mean, I love so much. It's so much that he drops. Right. And anyone that would go study what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches, it's so much light. And as the Bible talks about light being on top of light, his light is wisdom on top of wisdom. Mm. And that was another thing. I grew to love Jesus Christ, man. Listen, people think, oh, you don't love, y'all don't believe in Jesus. No, I just got a deeper, more intimate understanding from our perspective of who he is. Right. And then in addition to that, I grew to love him and also understand how to develop a personal relationship and what that really meant to have a personal relationship in my walk, what it meant to be Christ-like. See, these are things that the world would not want young people to know about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaching.
Wow.
But all you have to do is look at his student, Minister Farrakhan, anybody that would just be sober-minded, get out of all of the rhetoric and get out of all of the slander campaigns of the oppressor and just look at the brother with a common-sense look. Look at a man that's, you know, as old as he is, first of all, hitting the streets, going after our people. I ain't never heard of a world leader, a world-renowned leader in my life ever doing that,
right,
unless he was campaigning for an office. I ain't never heard of a leader going into the streets like that,
right,
after having, who is world-renowned. That's in and of itself, it's phenomenal.
Wow.
But the thing is so, go ahead.
I want to ask you, before we go, I want to ask you a couple of things about the name, because people don't understand. Some people, I understand. Why is it that you drop your name and you become Muhammad? Could you explain that process? Why is it important?
Muhammad, Farrakhan, X, you know, things of that nature.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Yes, certainly. Well, first of all, you know, the names that we wear now, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Honorable Mr. Farrakhan has taught us, these are not our names in the first place. These were names given to us by our former slave master and our former slave master's children. So, in effect, these are brands. These are brands indicating that we are the property of another. And until we become aware and develop a knowledge of who we are, then we continue to wear the brand of our oppressor, and he's able to identify us with the brand that he put on us. You belong to such and such. I don't care what modern time it is, and a lot of times a lot of people will raise the question or raise the argument and say, well, that was my grandmama's name, that was there, and I like that name. You know, you only like what you have been given, what's been laid out to you. You don't, there's a choice, and there's been limited choices as to what you could have in the first place. So you just like what you were given, or you don't, but you have no real understanding of why you were given it. But the names that we were given from our slave master children, they have no real meaning, and they don't have any historical value within context to who we are. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught us that we have to come out of the oppressive name. In my words, a revolutionary step towards being redeeming ourselves to our God. And so since we come, as the Bible said, you are all God's children of the Most High God, then why would we be wearing the name of a product or a people that came from us? Why would we be wearing the name of a made people and not the name of the Creator who created us, who we are direct descendants of, and who we possess the DNA of? We got God's DNA in our veins, in our body, in our makeup. And so therefore, we also carry the potential to act on his divine will in some way or another, which is a characteristic. So we take on the holy name. The first thing that we get after we go through our process of writing is our X, after we recite. And the X is the unknown, algebraic expression for the unknown quantity. And so because we are actually in the process of solving, I'm learning who I am. I'm starting to understand more about myself. So the more I learn of God, as we are taught, that the knowledge of Prophet Elijah Muhammad, the knowledge of God is the knowledge of self. The more I learn of God, then the more I start to see him in me. And then what you can develop, really, is ultimately, is you can see his attribute. So if you are Muhammad, which means worthy of praise, which is an attribute of Allah, which means worthy of praise and praise much, then you can take on the name Muhammad. It don't mean that you are the Muhammad, but you are a Muhammad representing the Muhammad, and what you do gives praise to the God. So you can wear his name because you're acting within the principle of his characteristic and nature that's in you. So we wear the name of our Father. If it's Hakim, which means the wise, it comes from Al-Hakim, which is the wise, and that's God himself. But we can be Hakim. We can be Hakima. We can, you know, we can take on the name. So we transition out of the oppressor's name, which is a sign that we are being resurrected. And the Bible said, and behold, I make all things new, and the former things shall pass away. And Jesus says in one parable, he said, you can't put new wine in old wineskin lest the wineskin break and the wine spill. So how do we be considered being made new and resurrected from a slave teaching, slave condition, self-hatred, and then yet still walk around with our slave master's name? So ultimately, we have to evolve to a point of consciousness and fearlessness, courageousness, and have a revolutionary mind that I will no longer wear the name of my former slave master children, because they were never given to me. I was made to wear this name. My real name is as such. I'm solving for that. I'm learning who I am. And if I'm the people of God, then I have the potential to wear his name and live up to his name. Wow. And so the Bible says a good name is better than gold. Now, I hope that gives some
that's real. Folks, we got Brother Mike Muhammad on the phone line, founder of KBOLL radio station out of Waterloo, Iowa. I'm breaking it down. We're talking about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Black Fact says his birthday is today. I know different website got different dates there. We actually
commemorated October 7th.
Okay.
So that's the standard, but you know, it's still relevant. I put it like that.
Right. So we wanted to get you on to talk about him and his imprint and what he done in your life. And you have really shed a lot of information on this. Before we go, there's a young kid out there who's starving to know more. They're not connecting with their religion, whatever religion they're into. They want to know more about this. What would you suggest to them to do?
If they're really interested, if they have internet access, and I know that's sometimes not the case, but I'll start there. You can always go to www.noi.org. And there's information on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. In fact, there's an about where you can actually read about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and you can read about his students, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. There's plenty, but I recommend going to that kind of source, because there's also a lot of negativity if you just simply Google it. Again, as I stated earlier, the enemy doesn't want you to know the man from the proper perspective. That would be one method. But the other is that you go and if you can find a bookstore or find a brother in the NOI, Nation of Islam, or some believer, and visit one of the study groups or mosque, or even better yet, if there's not any of that, then sit down with a brother, a believer. I know there's believers there in that community or surrounding area, and sit down with them and ask the kind of questions that you want to ask, Or you can call me. I'm just going to keep it 100 with you. I'll be so happy. And my number is 319-493-0116. Or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter under Michael Muhammad 1930. But anything that we can do to facilitate a person's growth and understanding, and even just to answer your question in regards to where your religious faith is. And that's one thing that I'm so grateful for in the teaching. You know, sometimes in our earlier interpretation, we may have mishandled our relationship with our brothers and sisters from different faiths. But as we've evolved and grown, especially under the wonderful leadership of Minister Farrakhan, you know, you learn how to embrace your people wherever we are and whatever point of view we are. And you love them genuinely. So we want to keep a dialogue that's wholesome. And that way people can learn and not be at war with each other. That's most important, what we need. And then get the benefit of what we can get from each other, because there's benefits from every perspective. Right. And that's one of the beauties of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings have afforded me and my development.
Well, before we go, one last question. Isn't it ironic that you think of Marcus Garvey, you think of Martin Luther King, you think of Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X, you think of all these different fighters, Nat Turner.
Yeah.
There's always a negative print somewhere around it.
Yeah.
And these are the people who have really fought hard to liberate Black America. Why do you think there's a negative condemnation connected to those legends?
Yes, sir.
Black legends.
Heavy, beautiful. I mean, and we can keep going. We can go back to Jesus. We can go back to Muhammad. We can go back to Abraham. We can go through all the prophets,
right.
Moses. Every one of them was followed with that same type of criticism. But one of the things that come to mind is something the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, and that was, and the Honorable Mr. Farrakhan said that the ultimate aim of this world, and I'm not talking about just this present time we're living in, but for the past 6,000 years, we've been under a rule that has really been contrary to our nature, contrary to the will of God. He said the ultimate aim of this world is to kill the messenger of God. Every time God sends a messenger, a prophet into the world, they're brought there to help give us direction back to the path of God. But the wicked who have been ruling are comfortable with the people walking in darkness. So one of the most hated men is a man who brings wisdom and light and the wisdom of God to the masses. He's one of the most hated of men. You know, or a man who gives his wealth to the poor. Anytime someone gives service to the underserved and to those who are taken advantage of, you know, then, of course, they're going to ridicule them. So just to get through that, I know we got a limit on time, but just to answer it real quickly, and that is simply that the message that they bring, the message that the messenger brings upsets the rule, the present rule. So their system is set up as such, like a body, like an immune system. It will attack this good antidote, this solution-driven, this righteous servant. It will attack it, and they have to attack the credibility of it so they can undermine it, overcome it, and then manipulate it so they can continue to control the people. What the prophet and the messenger, what brothers, what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, what Nat Turner, what these people, Martin Luther King, with all these great ones that have come, they represent the end of the power of the present world. So they're not going to give it up without a fight. We can only respect that. They're not going to give it up without a fight. But we're in the class of civilization. So as he said, the ultimate aim is to kill the messenger of God. And that's one of the reasons that they spit on Jesus' name. He said he was a man hated without a cause. Mm-hmm. He didn't do no wrong. He was perfect. So if he was perfect and they hated on him, why? Was because the mission was raising the dead to life, raising the level of consciousness of the people, helping them to see themselves, value themselves, putting them in a position where they could no longer be used as tools and slaves of the oppressors of whatever period of time, but particularly as we think about this time, these men represented strength. And they were also black men who represented the awakening of black men, again, after black men being dead mentally and spiritually for so many years, you know, now centuries, really, and thousands of years, if you really want to think of it, right. Of being mentally and spiritually dead from our position of assignment. We waking up, though. And that's what they all represent. all of them represent the sign of one day we're going to be back in our position, not as some supremacist hate-driven people, but we're going to be back in our position as the people of God, ruling and bringing peace and brotherhood back to this planet again. Right. I believe that.
And I forgot to throw the Black Panther. I definitely should have had his name in there. Yeah. Right. Hey, brother Mike, man, thank you for so much, man. Thank you for being available, you, man.
Thank you for having me, brother. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, we are great, great, great friends, and you just threw out a lecture just quick. The 30-minute lecture, just like that.
Just like that.
I'm going to post it up on the website, too, so folks who was, and people are listening online. We want to welcome all the people listening online, but I'm going to post this interview up on the website, man. Thank you so much, Brother Mike. Yeah,
thank you for having me, brother. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. All right. Have a good day. All right.
Yeah, have a good day, brother.
All right. Yes, sir.
There you go. Brother Michael Muhammad, founder of KBOLL radio station. He's the founder of radio station in Waterloo, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
You go online, KBOLLradio.com. Check him out. Check him out. Wow. Got Mayor Page coming up next.
Oh, okay.
I know. It's a load of show today.
I was done.
Oh, no. It's after the gym.
I can't take no more.
Be proud of your legacy, Rob. It's Naeem Akbar right here. Dr. Naeem Akbar. You won't hear this on a regular radio station.
No, never.
Guaranteed.
You not when I say that the prototype of human civilization was laid by African people. Yes, I'm talking about you, black, big nose, kinky head, big hips, big lip people from Africa. I'm talking about you who were made to see no value, no beauty, no good in who you are.